And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During Holy Week, there is a Thursday that we hold very dear in the Christian Church. Maundy Thursday is the day where we first celebrate the institution of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. But the day takes its name, Maundy Thursday, from the commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples, saying, "A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And Jesus, with a towel around his waist, having just washed the feet of the disciples, says something like, "I am your master. You are to imitate me. This is the way that you're going to have to love one another, and not awaiting the perfect moment when it won't cost you anything to serve. Not hoping that soon everyone will recognize all that you have sacrificed in service of others, and not hoping for a badge of merit. In fact, sometimes getting very little out of it for yourselves, except a dirty wet towel and hands that smell like people's feet." Peter finally allowed Jesus to wash his feet once he was told that he would be personally worse off if he did not allow Jesus to serve him. Then he was willing. But how would such a man find the motivation to turn and put the towel around his own waist and wash other people's feet? It would take a while. Maundy Thursday is not the only Thursday with a special observance, of course. This past Thursday night has been called Holy Thursday in the English tradition because this day we learn in the third verse of the chapter of the book of Acts this truth, that Jesus, after spending 40 days amongst his disciples, after that resurrection day, ascended into heaven. And as the book of Hebrews also says, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus Christ was coming close to the finish of his demonstrated teachings about love. He was right in the midst of the farewell discourse that we've been hearing from these last few weeks. He was preparing his disciples for not only his departure, but the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we observe next Sunday on Whit Sunday or Pentecost. He had washed their feet, and he was about to, in turn, wash the feet of all humanity in like fashion. On the Sunday following Maundy Thursday, the disciples saw Jesus resurrected and victorious over death. And finally, when St. Thomas saw the wounds and put his finger into the hand and side of Jesus and believed, then all the disciples together were relieved to see their Lord and their God, Jesus Christ. And then one day, on that Thursday, 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven with the great wonderment of those who witnessed the event accompanying it. And something had changed now in the followers of Christ because of what they saw in the resurrection and because of what they now saw in the ascension. There were no desperate cries of loneliness and abandonment. No one moping along the road saying, "I thought he was going to be the Messiah. Now what are we supposed to do?" The last verses of the gospel, according to St. Luke, paint a much different picture. "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Now that's not walking down the road, kicking rocks, wondering, what are we going to do now? Because with the ascension, the work of Christ is truly complete. The second person of the Trinity took humanity up into himself and healed us in his person. He took our sin upon himself and suffered upon the cross for us. In his perfect sacrifice, He fulfilled all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament and made in himself a new covenant, a new testament in his blood. In his death, we who are baptized into him die with him. In his resurrection, we rise and live in him. And now in his ascension, he makes a way for us, that where he goes, we may thither ascend. And from where he is now, ascended to the right hand of the Father, he is truly our great high priest, interceding for us, preparing a place for us. And this Jesus, about whom these things are true, calls us then to love in the same way that he has loved us. He said the same to St. Peter on a Maundy Thursday, and St. Peter was only ready to receive that kind of love, not yet ready to give. By Holy Thursday, Ascension, we're starting to see a change, even in St. Peter, where the content of the faith that he had witnessed was culminating in the ascension of Christ, leading to great hope, faith leading to hope, and hope in our victorious Christ, who makes a way for us for everlasting life, which surpasses all the concerns of the world, frees us to love, and even love, in the way that Jesus taught and showed us. On this day, the Sunday after the Feast of the Ascension, the prayer book lectionary gives us a passage from St. Peter as the epistle for the day. How fascinating to consider a message from St. Peter. In the fourth chapter of his first epistle, we learn this Peter, who sat in that room listening to the farewell discourse that first Maundy Thursday, and had his feet washed by Jesus Christ himself, God incarnate, and heard the message, "As I have loved you, love one another." Peter, who was just then about to see his Lord suffer and die as the tumult of persecution was coming to its zenith, he writes now to faithful Christians who are facing persecution and perhaps losing hope, speaking to them about their own fiery trial. And he writes to them as with the voice of Christ, that voice that he knew so well. And you can hear the conversion that's taken place in this St. Peter. For these are the instructions of St. Peter, who once did not understand that he must even let Jesus serve him, let alone the corollary that he must serve others in the same way. Peter writes this, and see if this sounds familiar. "The end of all things is at hand." That sounds just like a farewell discourse, doesn't it? "Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Very much like Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now St. Peter says, "And above all things, have fervent charity." And the word is agape, unconditional love, fervently among yourselves. It's exactly what Jesus commanded him to do before he could even understand it, let alone obey. Before faith had turned to hope, and before hope could have its supernatural fruit of love, St. Peter heard those words. But now, especially after the coming of the Holy Ghost, just a few days from then, he began to understand them and even teach them years later. And now, as Christ's apostle, with great urgency, he sees others facing trials and says these words, "Show hospitality to each other without grudging." He says, "As you have received gifts, use those gifts to each other's benefit." He says, "If you speak, speak as if you were saying something God would say. If you minister, do it with the ability that God gives, without showmanship, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." If you read that carefully and think about who's writing this command to love because of eternal hope that we have according to our faith in Christ, you'll see St. Peter is a new man. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus gives the commandment to love one another as he loves, a very tall order, since he is about to love all the way to the sacrifice of the cross. But then on Holy Thursday at the Ascension, Christ ascends into heaven and completes our redemption, forever representing and interceding for us in heaven as our great high priest. But the command to love never dissipates. On this day, the first Sunday after Ascension, St. Peter's message to us is a word from the pen of a complete and thoroughgoing convert. St. Peter was the disciple and now is the teacher. And he instructs to, first of all, nurture your faith. And then it is for us to hope in what has been prepared for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, that which has been commanded quite naturally follows, to love with fervent, unbending charity and patience for one another. For charity, the unconditional agape love of God, has covered over a multitude of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.